Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. I'm Jonathan Friedman in the studio for Jeffrey Davis today, and we have our ace reporter from the road, truly an international man, with us via Skype today, Greg Stoller. Greg is in Korea today, and he's going to share a Korean greeting with me. Greg, how are you? Annyeong haseyo. I don't know if that was anywhere near accurate or not, but welcome. It's probably
not bad. Being a teacher, I'd give you B plus A minus.
We got to do better than that. You're going to have to work with me. So Greg, it sounds like you're on one stop of a whirlwind stop through Asia. Why don't you tell us about what you're doing out there?
Yes, we are. I'm very fortunate to be talking to you from literally the other side of the world. I am leading the 13th annual International Management Experience trip to Asia for Boston College in the MBA program. This year, I have 22 MBA students, either from the full or part-time program, and we have over 20 company visits that I've arranged in Beijing, Seoul, Bangkok, and Tokyo over a two-week period.
Wow. So are all these students are traveling with you?
All these students are traveling with me. We just got back from our dinner evening engagement. We left the United States last Saturday at 4 a.m. in the morning. We ended up getting, meeting at the airport at 4:30. We ended up getting into Seoul, South Korea on Sunday night. We had two company visits on Monday. Earlier today, on Tuesday, local time, by Seoul, South Korean standards, we visited the demilitarized zone between North and South Korea, and we just had an evening dinner engagement with one of the top pharmaceutical companies throughout South Korea.
Oh, so wonderful. Now, I know not to get into geopolitical issues, but there's been some tension in that part of the world. Any feeling on the ground that you feel? Or
It's very humbling and very sobering at the same time. Literally, Monday morning, after our first night here, we watched CNN and also the local news in Korea, and North Korea had re-engaged in international missile tests off of its coast just to test its technology. And everybody had indicated that they were feeling the effects of the what we hope is a temporary closure of the Kaesong Industrial Complex. This is a complex that is about 1 or 2 kilometers over the border. It provides hard currency for North Korea and also provides some great supply chain issues for South Korea in the sense that many of those products are manufactured for relatively modest wages and then can be exported back into South Korea or in other portions of the region as well. So when we went there to the DMZ, and I've been there several times, I'm fortunate to have had that experience over the years. Formally, every 8 minutes or so, you saw another convoy of trucks either bringing supplies, bringing materials that were going to be manufactured into final products, or bringing those final products back to South Korea for export. And the only thing that we saw today was a closed road and almost something equivalent to a toll booth with every single one of the lights in the toll booth showing red for closed as opposed to green for open.
Wow. So not only does it have obviously a huge political impact, but obviously a large economic impact as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, it's just tough to see because every year that passes when I return to the DMZ and we don't go there every year, parts of North Korea look more barren. The technology that the South is using seems to become more advanced, but yet with the passage of time, unfortunately, the two Koreas are no closer to what everyone hopes is eventually going to be both economic as well as societal reunification.
Well, it sounds to me that unfortunately these things just reinforce the differences and make the differences only greater.
Yeah, it's as I said before, it's easy enough to read it in the United States or to watch it on TV and think to yourself, isn't that sad? But when you're actually there and you're actually seeing the looks on our U.S. military escort faces, you're seeing the looks on the Republic of Korea soldiers' faces, and you're just seeing the barren nature of literally looking a few kilometers across the border, it really hits home.
Wow. So is it one of these situations, I know we've seen this on TV in the past in different parts of the world when borders get closed where you have trucks literally lined up for days and sometimes weeks on end just awaiting the opening of the borders. Is that the case or are people just, they're not even bothering getting in line?
And so you hit the nail on the head. Formerly, it was several trucks and several people who were lining up just hoping that this was an empty threat or a bluff or something of that ilk. And frankly, it has already been 3 or 4 weeks, and one of the U.S. military soldiers who's supposed to patrol that part of the base just said he is going out of his mind, bored. There is nothing to do because there's nothing to patrol. Everything has been closed down, and for the moment, closed down hard.
Wow, wow. So that must be some experience for your students to see firsthand. I mean, I obviously unfortunate political tension and international tension, but to see the real economic impact and the challenges of running a business in that sort of situation must be a great firsthand experience for them.
I have to say we're very, very fortunate because this, of course, comes on the heels of 3 company visits that we had that are more traditional MBA student type visits where we discuss corporate strategy, we discuss product costing, we discuss industry trends and everything that goes along with that. Nobody would normally think of the North Korean and South Korean conflict as having a whole host of economic issues. And let's face it, of all the issues they're facing, only a very small amount are affecting them economically. But vis-a-vis an MBA student on this experience, it was really just a nice compliment to the 3 other visits that we've had over the past couple of days as well.
So you mentioned earlier that this is the first stop on what is sure to sound like, anyways, a whirlwind tour for you guys. What's the total duration of the trip? 10 days?
Sure. It's a 2-week trip in total. We are, you know, when you're having to move 26 people, we've got 22 students and faculty and staff from point A to point B. You just can't call up the equivalent of the local or the regional version of American Airlines and buy the tickets, and especially when you're trying to stay on budget. So we are leaving our hotel tomorrow morning at 10:05 in the morning. We've got to go through the Chinese group visa, and we are catching an 8 a.m. flight to go to Beijing, China. We will then give the students the rest of the day off to acclimate from probably what will be on average a couple of hours of sleep, throwing in jet lag over the past 2 or 3 nights. On Thursday and Friday, we have a full set of company visits. On Saturday, we're climbing the Great Wall, and on Sunday, we are off to Bangkok, Thailand. And then later in the following week, we are off to Tokyo, Japan.
Wonderful. So I would imagine from being a professor of international business and culture that the lessons learned, even though to perhaps, you know, a relatively homogenous population here in the States, what appears to be, you know, sort of standard practices, you're going to see very divergent, I would imagine, business practice and very divergent cultures across those different countries.
Well, I think what makes this particular set of experiences to date especially meaningful to me is in 2 of the 3 cases we had met these companies before in prior years, and I tend to subscribe hard to a policy of what I call 2-in-1. I never want to visit a city more than 2 times in a row without giving them a break. And that would include a company visit as well, because I just don't want the companies to feel like we're taking advantage of them. But the nice part of having done this now with repeat visits, if you will, is they know us, they hopefully trust us, and the tenor of those visits has been a lot different than just your dog and pony show, standard vanilla PowerPoint presentation on the company overview. In the first visit that we had on Monday morning, the group chairman of what is one of Korea's oldest and largest Chaebol companies, Chaebol being the Korean word for conglomerate, literally held open Q&A with our students for 25 minutes. And this came after his senior vice presidents all gave really briefing reports on their individual business segments, but to have the full attention of the group chairman that he had asked for questions in advance, he read every single one of them, and he said to us, folks, ask me whatever you'd like, and had no holds barred, is just absolutely the best possible experience I could provide for my students ever.
Is that over the years that you've been doing this, and again, with your experience in the international arena, is that a departure from historical cultural norms within Korea?
I think that, you know, everybody, especially in the West, talks about the relationship, and they talk about terms like losing face, and they know the importance of gift giving. And I'll be the first to admit that sometimes I feel like I'm just going through the motions, and it really doesn't matter. In this particular case, I think the past couple of days in South Korea, and I think this is probably true of all 4 of the countries that we're going to be visiting on this particular trip, is that the relationship really does matter. And I think that if this were sight unseen, if we were doing this for the first time, or if they were approaching us at arm's length, frankly, I wouldn't expect anything more than the plain vanilla 15-minute corporate overview with a couple of, you know, questions thrown in there for good measure. The fact that they are really giving us almost unfettered access and having a no-holds-barred approach really speaks to, I think, a positive change in a lot of these countries in Asia, and also the absolute importance, and this would be, you know, case study A or exhibit A of how to really reap the dividends of a long-term relationship over a period of, in my case, 13 years.
Fascinating. So if you were to foreshadow what you're going to see or contrast it with what you've seen over the last couple of days with what you expect to see in the next coming week in the three different countries or areas that you're going to visit, what do you think some of the highlights would be? And I guess
that's a terrific question. It's just
I'm gonna preface it, Greg. I'm gonna interrupt because I'm gonna preface it with you're gonna have to come back when you're back stateside and come into the studio and play that one out and tell us whether or not your crystal ball was accurate.
Well, if I had a crystal ball, I probably wouldn't be on the radio. You and I would probably be in business someplace else, making millions of yen or millions of dollars, but. I think if things go well technologically, I'm actually hoping to do another call into our show in the week that follows. But it's just been dumb luck that every year that we choose these cities, it's somewhat at random that they always seem to be in, you know, January, February, May, June, etc., in the news for different reasons. You had mentioned before, Jonathan, unfortunately, the North-South political as well as economic conflict. Right now, the People's Republic of China is going through a series of corrections. Some of those are going to be political when they're trying to root out corruption. Some of those are going to be economic. Some of them are really preventing people from owning two or more condos in an effort to stem price inflation. And I am very much intrigued to see what these large behemoth as well as entrepreneurial companies, I should say, in China, especially in Beijing, are going to be telling us over the next couple of days. Bangkok is doing comparatively better. It's come a long way since the Asian flu of 1997 and 1998. We should be seeing a different side of Bangkok, that we are actually going into the downtown section of the city and actually meeting with one of the performing arts media companies. So that should give an alternate view of Bangkok, not just from a manufacturing perspective, but also from an arts and cultural perspective. And then at the end of next week in Tokyo, Prime Minister Shinzo Abe is absolutely taking the country by storm. He is attempting to fix the economic stagflation and deflation over the past decade and a half. He's also trying to fix the currency issues and really marshal the esprit de corps of the Japanese so that they can get themselves back on track economically.
Oh, fascinating. So obviously you're going to see a lot of very relevant, topical, interesting things going on and how it reflects within the individual companies that you are seeing. And I would think not only is this probably a game changer in a lot of ways for the students, but really sounds so cliche, but a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Well, you know, I have to say, I think anybody who does any of these trips, and I appreciate the compliment. I think that coming to Asia and visiting multiple cities is definitely going to be a game changer. I just was frankly pinching myself over the past couple of days that I'm amazed at how well it's going and how much trust they're putting in us. And it's a constant reminder to me how truly fortunate I am to be representing Boston College and really reaping the benefits of, you know, all of these years of, waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning, answering emails, answering phone calls, and trying to do the right thing with these companies.
Well, and it must be, tremendous testament to you. I'm going to give you another compliment, not only, the wonderful work that you do, but obviously the vision to conceptualize this and make it a reality and to pull it off. And as you said, the doggedness and determination over the years to see this thing from the infancy stages, just like a startup, to a full-fledged and flourishing program today.
I appreciate you saying this, but especially since we're on the air, I do have to remind all our listeners, this is very much a group effort. It's not a one-man show, and it's also a testament to the teamwork and the can-do attitude of, you know, people in the Carroll School of Management at Boston College.
And you guys were fortunate in that you scheduled this thing while commencement was going on, so you didn't have to get caught in the hubbub of what's going on campus.
Yes. It's funny you say that. We have experimented over the years doing this trip at different times. This time around, because the full-time MBA students have internships that all start on the first full week of June, June 3rd this year, we have to get back by June 1st so that they can do a full three-month internship in June, July, and August. I heard commencement yesterday was absolutely lovely. I wish I had gone, hubbub or not. Just Boston College does a great job with it, but it's also nice to, you know, be able to get a nice amount of students to be together. And even though some of them are skipping commencement, even though they've graduated, we want to make sure we're doing right by everybody by allowing them to still do that 3 full-month internship.
Absolutely. Well, that's a great opportunity. Well, we're running up against the clock here. And, you know, since you have such a fascinating program, I want to make sure that anybody listening who has an interest in international business and perhaps pursuing an MBA or other education at Boston College, how do they get in touch with you?
Sure. They can reach me via my Boston College email address. That's gregory.stoller.1@bc.edu. That's GREGORY. .SLikeSam.TOLLER.1@bc.edu.
Well, Greg, I'm sure given the hour, you'd probably like to get some shut-eye before getting up for your early morning flight. And we'll give you an opportunity to do that. And again, wish you safe travels, nothing but success, and look forward to hearing more and more great stories from abroad.
Thank you, Jonathan. Please say hi to our team back in Massachusetts. And I look forward to giving you the results of our joint attempt at the crystal ball in the days and weeks that come.
Great. And I'm going to go into the closing, so I give you an opportunity. I know you like to plug us. I'm going to talk about how Radio Entrepreneurs can be heard daily from 6 to 7 p.m. on WBNW 1120, WPLM 1390, WSO 970. And Greg, you want to talk about our Facebook page?
Yes, please like us on Facebook at Radio Entrepreneurs. It's a wonderful site. Our Radio Entrepreneurs website has also been newly cleaned up and recreated from scratch. It looks terrific, and we really do want to continue this dialogue with our listeners and not have it be unidimensional that you're just listening to us on the radio. We want to hear your thoughts and continue the dialogue well after these segments have aired.
Great, Greg. Well, as always, wonderful to have you, whether it's in the studio, and even a pleasure and a privilege for me to talk to you abroad. And here's hoping that one day I can join you on one of these fabulous trips.
I think it would be absolutely terrific. So I will bid you guys a good evening. Thanks for the offer to go to sleep. I will take you up on it.
Great. Well, we wish you well. And again, safe travels. And we'll be right back on Radio Entrepreneurs.